Flying the Flag by Alex Shearer, starring Dinsdale Landon as Her Majesty's Ambassador, Mr. Mackenzie, with Peter Aker, Moya Leslie, and Christopher Benjamin as Colonel Surikoff. A Taste of Democracy.
Do you think these British weeks do any good, sir?
As I grow older, William, I'm more and more inclined to the view that very little does any good.
Well, I meant in drumming up trade for British industry, sir.
Oh, I don't know. No, that of questionable value, these trade fairs. But like it or not, British week will soon be upon us. So, what gimmickry has been arranged for that,
Well, there's a London Transport double-decker bus being shipped over, as usual, sir.
Oh, very British, not to say original.
With a scale model of Big Ben and a replica of the House of Commons.
Well, the idea of this is that the locals will get to see what democracy looks like, I suppose.
Perhaps they should ship over some of the unemployed, sir, and then they could get to see what the economy looks like.
Your politics are showing, William.
Sorry, sir. Also, there'll be an exhibition of folk arts and crafts, plus a clog dancing demonstration by the Cotswold Morris men.
Oh, well, that should secure some big contracts. Still, as long as we aren't expected to don the bells and knotted handkerchiefs ourselves...
Right,
oh, but times have changed, William. I mean, 40 years ago, commercial and economic matters were no part of diplomacy.
Sort of trade was beneath us, eh, sir?
Oh, yes, being asked to deal with it was unlike being asked to work in a shop.
There's nothing wrong with working in a shop, is there, sir?
But no, of course not, William. Good Lord, no. I mean, some of my best friends buy things in shops. No. I mean, commercial diplomacy here to stay. I mean, we must sell, and sell again. Where's my itinerary?
Oh, it's here, sir.
Oh, sure.
Now, you'll be making the inaugural speech at the exhibition centre first, you know, welcoming the British businessmen and the local buyers and, you know, hoping everything will be a success.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'll be cutting the ribbon to declare the event open.
Oh, better set out my scissors then, William. The sharp ones this time.
Yes, sir. There's the all-party delegation of MPs, of course, sir, arriving on their fact-finding mission.
Oh, yes. I'll have a word with you and Helen about that later.
Right, shall I go and check the exhibition arrangements then, sir?
Yes, it might not be a bad idea. Helen.
Hello, sir. I've almost finished your letters.
No, it's not that, Helen. Just a quick word.
Yes, sir?
On a rather important matter.
Oh, right, sir, yes. Was it tea or coffee you wanted?
Oh, no, Helen, nothing like that. Well, tea in 5 minutes would be fine, actually. No, it's about your office, Helen.
Oh, yes. Will the budget be able to run to redecoration?
Well, I'm hoping we'll get the whole building refurbished, but it's more what's on your walls than the condition of them.
Oh, yes, sir.
I know you're tucked away here, Helen, out of sight and far from the global strife of the madding crowd, as it were.
Yes, sir.
And as you know, I've never been one to pull rank or impose my own views in any way.
Oh, no, sir.
In fact, I've always tried to run this embassy as a sort of,
benevolent dictatorship, sir?
Model democracy, Helen. However, with this all-party delegation of MPs arriving, I expect a certain amount of traipsing in and out to be going on. So, for the duration, if you wouldn't mind taking down your Ban the Bomb posters...
Yes, sir.
..and perhaps not leave your copy of Marxism Today in such a prominent position on your desk.
I was just taking an interest in local affairs, sir.
Well, yes, I appreciate that, Helen, and I'm glad to see it. However, you know what these delegations are like, 3 MPs with 600 prejudices and half a brain between them. We never know exactly why they're here, Helen. This is the unnerving thing.
Well, I thought it was for British Week, sir, and to study the new openness policy in action by observing local by-elections.
Purportedly, yes, but we'll also be under the microscope. And the British Embassy must be seen to be fair and impartial, yet loyal to the party in power. We are as the chameleon, and our complexion is of the government of the day.
Yes.
And when the government is conservative, we are conservative. When the government is socialist...
We're still conservative, sir?
We endeavour to temper the excesses of socialism with a modicum of restraint, and in the unlikely event of the government being whatever the other lot are, we will be whatever the other lot are.
Right, sir.
So treat them all exactly the same. Accord the Conservative MP every facility. Do your best for this jumped-up socialist chap here, and whatever you can do for this SDB liberal whatever fellow lad.
Yes, I'll be totally without prejudice, sir. The same as you.
Yes, take my lead, Helen. I don't think you can go far wrong.
Any of the MPs women, sir?
Oh, no, Helen. In that respect, democracy is seriously lagging behind public opinion. However, as I say, at least we're all equal here.
Yes, sir.
So you'll get the tea on, will you?
Yes, sir.
When's Colonel Surikoff arriving to discuss British Week arrangements?
11:45, sir.
Oh, right. Well, I'll just go and put the whiskey somewhere. Carry on. Oh, William. Everything all right?
Well, a bit of a flap, actually, sir. Just had a call from the exhibition mini pavilion, and the matchstick model of York Minster seems to have caught fire.
Mr. Ambassador, how are you?
Oh, fine, thank you, Colonel. And yourself?
A little shaky. Your stair carpets are rather dangerous. Walking up just now, I almost became a copper.
Oh, I do apologise, Colonel. We are hoping to have the embassy fully upgraded sometime in the foreseeable future.
I know the problem, Mr. Ambassador. Money scarce, approval necessary. Small minds, big wigs, little purses, tight strings. Perhaps a drink would help me feel better.
Oh, certainly. A glass of water, Colonel?
Yes, thank you. Whiskey, I believe, is very good for shock.
Yes, well, I'd be delighted to pour you one, had I one to pour, Colonel. But I'm afraid I seem to be right out until the diplomatic bag arrives.
Isn't that the bottle, Mr. Ambassador? There, in the goldfish tank.
Is it? Oh, yes, so it is. I can't imagine.
Oh, perhaps the fish were thirsty.
Well, I'll pour this one.
So, how are your preparations for British Week?
Oh, we're girding ourselves up, Colonel.
Good. Any further help we can offer?
You're too kind, Colonel.
The least I can do is the least I can do. Cheers.
Cheers.
I have arranged clearance for your parade through the city centre. I have warned the military that your Scottish regiment will be marching in full kilts and bagpipes.
Okay.
They have orders not to shoot.
Oh, thank you, Colonel. I'm sure the Highlanders will appreciate that.
We have instructed all citizens to keep their doors and windows tightly shut and to stay off the street while the parade is in progress, so there will be no fear of being stared at.
Well, while I appreciate your efforts, Colonel, it wasn't deserted streets, more cheering crowds that we had in mind. We would prefer the parade to be open to the public.
Yes, all things are possible, Mr. Ambassador. And I would be more than pleased to scratch your back, if it weren't that my own is a little itchy at the moment.
Oh, nothing too serious, I trust, Colonel. No stabbing pains between the shoulder blades, I hope.
Perhaps if you polish another whiskey, Mr. Ambassador.
Ah.
I might get my cards off my chest and lay them on the table.
Oh.
As you know, we have local party elections in the offing, and I have a comrade, a certain high-ranking comrade, whose re-election until now has always been
a foregone conclusion, Colonel.
Deservedly automatic, yes. By sheer animal magnetism, he attracted never less than 100% of the ballot.
Oh, what a remarkable man your friend sounds, Colonel. Doubtless the fact that he was the only candidate has no connection with his political triumphs.
Quite so, but times change, Mr. Ambassador. And we must change with them.
Oh, yes, right.
All this openness and reform and democratization has brought with it startling innovations.
Well, you mean other candidates, Colonel?
Exactly. Other inferior persons are now at liberty to challenge my comrade's hitherto impregnable position.
I see. And your comrade is a little concerned, Colonel, that he may not be re-elected?
You've hit the nail right on the thumb, Mr. Ambassador.
Yes.
He's so apprehensive, he is almost drying himself.
Well, perhaps the voters mistakenly think that your comrade has been using his position to his advantage, Colonel.
Feathering his pockets. Well, yes, there are these lines, Mr. Ambassador, and jealous comrades who think along them.
And even feel that a change of comrade might be a good idea, Colonel. That it's time for the winds of change to blow down the corridors of power.
Exactly. But this comrade of mine, if he feels the chill, others also shiver. And those representatives with whom he deals, diplomats, ambassadors, may not find his successor such an easy man to get on with.
Easy, Colonel?
Whereas, if he remains in office, he may place large orders for foreign industry, perhaps. So, what my comrade was wondering, Mr. Ambassador, was perhaps with your knowledge of the workings of the so-called democratic system, if you could best advise him how to...
Thump the tub, Colonel.
Yes, how do your politicians set about winning their votes?
Well, various basic methods. First of all, you knock the opposition.
Yes.
Drag up unsavory personal details, illegitimate children, sexual peccadilloes, anything like that.
Peccadilloes, really? Yes, good.
And then you attack the opposition's policies, say how they'll lower everyone's standard of living as opposed to your own, which will immeasurably improve it, and make great promises.
You had to keep them?
Oh, no, not necessarily.
But don't people notice?
Well, they don't seem to. And it helps to have a slogan, Colonel.
Slogan?
Something quite simple would do, as long as it's catchy. Liberty, equality, fraternity.
Yes. Vote for Surikov. Ahead with Surikov, or whatever this comrade friend of mine's name is.
Right.
Thank you, Mr. Ambassador. Your help has been invaluable.
Well, I wish you, your comrade, every success at the election, Colonel. It also helps to kiss babies, I believe.
The last time my comrade did that, he caught measles. Whiskey, I believe, is very good for comrades recovering from measles.
Is it really? Oh, what a shame your comrade is not here.
Well, it's certainly taking shape, William.
Yes, sir. There's a few more exhibitors yet to arrive, but I think we should open in time. Oh. It's quite an impressive building, really.
Yes, post-revolutionary Gothic, I believe.
Yes, I must say the flying buttresses and the Art Deco lampshades do make an interesting contrast.
Well, I might as well see the rest of the exhibition while I'm here. Then you can go to meet these MPs at the airport.
Yes, sir. It's this way. Do you think these fact-finding missions do any good, sir?
Oh, I have my doubts for fact-finding missions. Read cocktail-guzzling junkets. Politicians, William, leave no bottle unemptied in their search for facts.
Yes, sir.
But rarely, if ever, do they find any. They've always decided what they're going to find before they've even come and looked for it.
Yes. Now, this is the Townswoman's Guild stall here, sir.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice acrylic hot water bottle covers here. Mm-hmm. They're very well.
Yes, very nice, William.
And some embroidered teacups, yes.
Mm-hmm. No, politicians, as far as the diplomat is concerned, are ill-informed nuisances at the best of times. A wrong word in the wrong ear, and they can undo 5 years' good work in 5 seconds.
Yes, sir. At the Cornish pasty stall just here, sir.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be serving them hot throughout the day.
Oh, good, really. No, foreign affairs are a minority interest for most politicians, William. They don't know about them, and they don't want to know about them.
No votes in it, eh, sir? Oh, the Wedgwood crockery seconds over here, sir, and the potpourri and the Devon violets.
Oh, very fragrant. Now, when they get here, as I said to Helen, we'll act with strict impartiality. Under appraisal or not, it won't do any harm to create a good impression. So not only must weight be pulled, weight must be seen to be pulled.
Yes, sir. Actually, my office is looking a bit tassy, sir. I was wondering if I should get it redecorated before...
Well, let's get the authorization to buy the paint first, William, and then choose the colours.
Yes, sir. Oh, this is the woolly toy stall here, sir.
William, is this an exhibition of British manufactured goods, or is this a car boot sale?
Oh, the heavy industrial stuff's in the other halls.
Oh, cool. Well, I was beginning to grow concerned.
Well, perhaps I could leave you, sir, if I'm to get to the airport.
Right, and remember, complete impartiality. Our own political views must be held tightly in check.
Right, sir.
So, while I hear, it might be best if I looked after the Conservative MP. We may well have been in the same university. Or maybe you'd take this socialist chummy of a lad under your wing.
Yes.
I hope it won't be too boring for you. He'd probably want to go out drinking beer or watching whippets or something.
Yes, sir. Might even have brought his cloth cap and pigeons with him, sir.
William, it is exactly this sort of class bias I've spent the last 10 minutes warning you against.
Just a joke, sir.
Yes, well, there's many a prejudice aired in jest.
But what about the other MP, sir? And who'll look after him?
Oh, yes, the SBT. Whatever it is, upstart. Yes, well, we'll just have to tag along as best he can. I mean, it's not as if there are many of them in Parliament, so we needn't worry too much about them.
No, sir.
But remember, complete impartiality.
Right, sir.
Right, well, I'll just take a look at the Toby Jug stall, and then I'll see you back at the embassy.
The all-party delegation, sir. Gentlemen, this is His Excellency, Mr. Mackenzie, the British Ambassador.
Gentlemen, do please sit down. You'll have to forgive us, gentlemen, if the decor isn't quite up to London standards. As you can see, the embassy is in dire need of extensive renovation.
Aye, well, British taxpayers don't have money for you diplomats to faff about with, Mackenzie. They've other bills to foot before they get to you.
It's the Honourable Member, Mr. Frank Burton, sir.
How do you do, Mr. Burton? Your remarks are, of course, extremely interesting. And if I may say, expressed with conviction and insight...
Look, I'm not a crumpet, Mackenzie. Don't try buttering me up. When it comes to needy causes and forking out, British embassies are way down the list. Isn't that right, Gerald?
Yes, Frank, if you say so.
This is the Right Honourable Mr. Calder Brown, sir, with an E and a hyphen.
Oh, how do you do, Mr. Calder Brown? Delighted to meet you.
Ambassador, so sorry to hear of your difficulties. Perhaps when we get back to London, we could make a few constructive recommendations, if that would help.
That would be extremely kind, thank you. I wonder, were you at Oxford by any chance?
Yes, I was. Eton and Bale.
Really? Well, we must have some acquaintances in common.
Never mind flapping your old school ties about you two. Let's get this show on the road. We've got a tight schedule and a lot to do.
It's good of you to regard this matter sympathetically, Mr. Calder Brown, and do convey my personal good wishes to the Foreign Secretary when you see him.
Oh, I'm afraid I think Frank's more the man for that job.
Aye. I'll give him your regards if that's what you want, Mackenzie, but quite what he's going to do with them, I can't think.
I'm sorry, I don't quite... William?
I'm sorry, sir, I forgot to mention. Mr. Burton is the Conservative member, sir, and Mr. Calder Brown represents the Labour Party.
I see. And where's the third member?
Old Michael, Mr. Plain Mackenzie. He would. Only 43, senile already. Have to be in that party. Couldn't catch a bee in a jam jar, that one.
Yes, it was rather unfortunate for Mike, but he'll be here as soon as possible, Ambassador.
If next plane, sir, I'll go and meet him.
Oh, Helen. Oh, thank you. Tea, lovely.
Mr. Burton, would you like a cup?
Aye, thank you. I'll have a few of them biscuits, too, if I may.
Mr. Calder Brown?
Thank you, Helen.
Oh, it's hot, isn't it?
Sir?
Thank you, Helen. Perhaps you could blow on Mr. Burton's tea for him.
Willie.
Oh, thanks.
Well, let's swill this down and crack on then, Gerald. We didn't come all this way to faff about slurping tea.
I'm not actually slurping my tea, Frank, and I'm sure we can spare a little time for the common courtesies.
Let's get out, see what sort of a mess this country's in, and what's being done by our diplomacy for British exports.
Let's not forget where there's muck, there's money, Frank.
I haven't forgotten, Gerald, even if you socialists have. I'm not afraid to get my fingernails dirty.
No.
Ah, well, that's me done. Ready when you are. Thanks for the tea, Mary.
Helen, thank you.
Perhaps you'd go on ahead with Mr. Burton, William, as the rest of us aren't quite ready. Give him a tour of the city.
Oh, but I... right, sir.
Right, come on then, lad. See you all later.
This way, Mr. Burton.
Yes. So how was your flight, Mr. Calder Brown?
Oh, a little trying at times, Ambassador.
Oh, so tell me, who was the favourite for the boat race this year?
Well, I did get some inside gen on that, funnily enough. I was on my way to Ascot, and I had a little trouble with the rolls, when who should stop an old crony of mine, George Newbolt.
Oh, not Spanky Newbolt.
Yes, why? Do you know him?
Oh, yes, very well. Good heavens.
Excuse me, sir, I'll take the trail.
See you, I'm not disturbed, Helen. So you're a socialist? Is that right?
Yes. My father was the first to join the Labour Party. He gave up his title to stand for the Commons. We had been Conservative up until then, but somehow the Tory Party got so frightfully working class.
Oh, yes, yes. I know what you mean.
Right. Well, here we are then, Mr. Burton.
So, this is the hospital, is it, lad?
Yes, and I've arranged for someone to take us round.
Ah, well, looks all right from outside. They have anaesthetics, do they?
Yes, yes, I believe they do, Mr. Burton, yes.
Chloroform, I expect, eh? No Bupa, though, nothing like that, I suppose. They don't have the choice.
Well, no. I mean, money can't get you a private room or, you know, preferential treatment.
Aye, and this is what they call a free society.
Oh, but the political elite do have their own facilities.
Oh, do they now? That's not so bad, then. They are making efforts to be more democratic.
Oh, yes, yes. There's quite a bit of corruption, Mr. Burton.
Eh?
Yes, this is a fairly typical foreign currency store, Mr. Calder Brown. Most of the tourists spend their money in. The higher quality local produce is here, plus a lot of Western goods unavailable in the ordinary shops.
I see. What about the man in the street?
He stays there, basically, and doesn't get past the door. Of course, certain high-ranking party members do have passes to give them access to the foreign currency stores.
So there's still an element of us and them about the place, even here?
Oh, well, politics is one thing. Human nature is quite another.
Yes. It's such an insidious thing, privilege. In fact, I was saying as much to Baroness Wellston the other day at the Palace Garden Party.
Grumbles Wellston?
Yes. Do you know her, Ambassador?
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact.
What an extraordinary coincidence. Have you ever thought of joining the Labour Party?
Well, I haven't really considered.
Because there's a wonderful social life, you know, and you do get to meet all the top people.
Whiskey, Mr. Burton?
Not for me, Mackenzie. I'm a beer man myself.
Yes. Well, we must have some somewhere. William?
There's a bottle of the local brew here, Mr. Burton.
Oh. I'll take a whiskey, Mr. Ambassador, if I may.
Ah, well, don't get too settled, Gerald. We're here for business, not for junkets.
Don't worry, Frank. I'm not intending to make a night of it. But you seem to have a political prejudice against people even sitting down. Thank you.
Sorry to bother you, sir, but we've had a phone call from the other member of the delegation.
Oh, aye. Decided to stop home, has he?
No, he did manage to get on a plane, but Unfortunately, it was the wrong one, and he's presently in Helsinki.
Oh, that is unfortunate.
Daft bugger. Put his head on a piece of string, you could use it for a conker.
He's coming on by train.
Thank you, Helen. Keep us posted.
Yes, sir.
Well, it's been a most informative day, Mackenzie.
Very good.
I was most impressed by that Colonel Surikov fighting a strong election campaign. Struck me as the sort of chap I could do business with.
Really, Frank? He struck me as the sort of man I'd hesitate to leave my wallet with.
Ah, well, we could do with a few like him in the Conservative Party.
He's a communist, Frank.
Doesn't matter. We've room for all sorts, if their attitude's right, and they're prepared to work hard to get on, and don't expect out for nout.
We certainly wouldn't want him, I can assure you of that.
Ah, well, that's the trouble with the British Labour Party, isn't it, Gerald? It's too right-wing. Why, if communists ever unite with us Tories against you, socialists, you only have yourselves to blame.
Well, it's been a long day, gentlemen, and there's a lot to do and see you tomorrow.
Aye. We'll look at British Exhibition and see if you've been pulling your weight, Mackenzie.
Well, we haven't been idle, Mr. Burton.
Yes, don't be pompous, Frank.
Aye, well, if groundwork hasn't been done, I'll be coming down hard. We don't pay you diplomats a good whack to come out here and be pinstripe cocktail shakers.
I can assure you, Mr. Burton, diplomats spend less time shaking cocktails than members of Parliament do, leaning against bars in the House of Commons, waiting for the division bell to ring and to be told which amendment to vote for because they haven't the wit to work it out for themselves.
Now, look here, McKim.
Can I top up your beer, Mr. Burton? Mr. Porter Brown, another whiskey? How about you, sir?
Oh, thank you, William.
Have you got any crisps?
No, I'm afraid we haven't, actually, Mr. Burton.
No crisps? Well, my constituency makes crisps. You'd better get some in.
So, how are things going, William? How are Tweedledum and Tweedledee? I trust it hasn't been necessary to buy them new rattles.
Oh, they seem quite happy beating each other over the head with old manifestos, sir. Mm. They're at the polling booths at the moment, watching communist pluralism in action.
Oh, yes, it's X marks the spot there.
Do you think Surikov's seat is safe, sir?
Well, rickety, I'd have said, William.
Well, do you think he'll get back in with somebody actually standing against him?
Well, not if the voters have any sense. No, still, he does have his uses. I mean, better the devil you know, etc. The visit to the trade fair went well, did it?
Yes, not bad, sir. The MPs seem very pleased.
Oh, how's business?
Oh, well, all the Cornish pasties are selling very well. There's been quite a rush at the stuffed toy stalls, have they? Mm-hmm. People's department stores ordered 50 giraffes and 26 Biggie Wiggie Jim Jam cases.
But what about the plant and machinery, the heavy industrial items?
Oh, not so good, sir. Well, I think with all the other recent trade fairs, everyone's bought what they want. It's any sort of novelty goods that are selling.
Mm. But we do need some kind of prestigious order, William. If only to justify our existence. A decent contract to send our delegation home with, so they can strut about the House of Commons, puffing their chests out and making loud squawking noises.
Sir?
Yes, Helen?
The other MP in the delegation, sir.
Oh, yes, the JCB Alliance, whatever. Has he arrived?
Not exactly, sir, no. He got on the wrong train at Helsinki and he's now in Stockholm, but he hopes to be here soon.
Oh, right, Helen, thank you. Oh, Helen, this chap who keeps getting lost, where's his seat?
I think it's a marginal somewhere, sir.
Yes, I thought it might be. Thank you.
Sir, I was just thinking about a large trade order. Well, doesn't Colonel Surikov's son-in-law run the local bus fleet?
Oh, yes, William. But Surikov hasn't won yet. Well, congratulations on your re-election, Colonel.
Thank you, Mr. Ambassador. Your advice was extremely useful in helping conduct my campaign. I took to the hustings like water to a duck.
Yes, well, I did get an opportunity to observe some of your electioneering tactics, Colonel, when I was showing our MPs around the city.
Oh, yes, they have gone home?
My first secretary is taken to the airport this afternoon.
I think they were quite impressed by our adoption of democratic methods.
Oh, I certainly think they made an impact. It was quite a close-run thing, I understand, Colonel.
Well, Mr. Ambassador, under the old system, when there was only one candidate, yours truthfully, and everyone was compelled to vote, it was not surprising that I often won 100% of the ballot.
No, not the kind of news to seriously raise the eyebrows, Colonel, no. They must be gratifying to attain such universal popularity.
Indeed, indeed. Though in truth, of those who voted, perhaps only 40% really wanted me to get in.
As many as that, Colonel.
But comes along, open this, and reform, and look what happens. The vote is no longer compulsory, so only 60% of the electorate bothered to turn up.
Oh, yes, apathy, Colonel, the great friend of the status quo.
And of those who do 70% vote for my three opponents, despite what I discovered about them.
It was strange, Colonel, that all three of your opponents should turn out to be sexually perverted embezzlers recently released from prison. I mean, I was surprised.
Oh, me too, me too. So at the count, Mr. Ambassador, I poll only 30% of the vote, but the rest of the vote is split three ways. So, in fact, although the overwhelming majority of the people don't want me, I still get in. Democracy is a wonderful institution. I am most impressed by it.
Yes, Colonel, but it does have its weak points.
Well, shall we drink to my success, Mr. Ambassador?
Yes, well, as you've provided the success, Colonel, I dare say I can supply a correspondingly small measure of whiskey. So, how's your back now, Colonel?
My back? Oh, well scratched. Thank you, Mr. Ambassador. And yours?
Oh, still a little itchy, but a sizable order for British industry would ease the irritation, Colonel. A little imbrication for our MPs to take home, a little diplomatic massage for your allies.
Yes, well, your help was invaluable in my re-election, Mr. Ambassador. My son-in-law, as you may be aware, does control city transport services.
Does he really, Colonel? No, I didn't know that.
And a new fleet of public vehicles is soon to be required.
Oh, yes, I had heard that several of the horses have died. Well, let me top up your glass, Colonel.
I haven't drunk any yet.
Oh, let me top it up anyway. So, how many buses did you have in mind?
Two.
Or 200? Well, I think we could go so far as to offer a discount on that many. They folded up their tents like the Arabs then, William.
What? Oh, the exhibitors, yes, sir. Not quite so good on the silently stealing away part, though, sir.
And our politicians have gone. They have gone, haven't they?
Oh, yes, sir. I didn't leave the airport until the plane had taken off. Good that they had such a large order to take back with them.
Yes, I thought they were rather pleased with that myself.
It's quite a success for British industry there, sir. I mean, 50 buses.
More of a success for Scottish whisky, if you want my candid opinion, William. Yes.
You wanted to see me, sir?
Oh, yes. Come in, Helen. It's about the redecoration. Sit down. Now, I feel fairly confident we'll get the refurbishment alliance, and I wish to confer with you both. I mean, as you appreciate, we all have to work here. We're all in the same building.
All together as a team, sir.
Thank you, William. I write my own speeches. So I thought you'd both like to have a say in the choice of colour scheme.
Oh, yes.
Well,
I do try to run this place as a democracy, and as a Democrat, I want all members of staff to have an equal say. So fire away.
Well, I wouldn't mind pale apricot for my office, sir. I think that would be quite restful, with a small pattern Laura Ashley paper in the cloakroom.
And I thought a bit of wainscot panelling with red flock wallpaper would do in mine, sir.
Oh, yes, really, in the Chinese restaurant school of interior decoration. Well, I'm afraid I haven't made myself quite clear. I've already decided which colour we're going to have. We shall have it done throughout in blue.
Blue, sir? Well, it's a bit of a cold colour blue, isn't it?
It's what we've chosen, Helen. But you and William can select whatever shade of blue you'd like to have for your own offices.
Oh, I see, sir. So we've got to have blue, whether we like it or not.
But we can choose the shade.
Oh, yes. Well, I think that's as near to democracy as anyone's got so far, don't you?
Well, I think I'll go and put my C&D poster back up, sir.
Yes, we'll give it some thought, sir.
Yes, thanks very much for consulting us, sir. Reception film just before I came in. The other MP from the all-party delegation.
Who?
The one who was last heard of in Stockholm.
Oh, yes, the RSJ, whatever it is, member, yes.
Well, he's here, sir.
But the others have gone home.
Well, he's downstairs in the foyer, sir.
We could vote with our feet, sir.
I'm sorry, we're... Oh, I see. Yes, it's almost 5 o'clock, isn't it? Yes. We could use the back entrance, then. Come along. This way, Helen. Quiet as you can, William.
Right, sir.
In A Taste of Democracy, you heard Dinsdale Landon as Mr. Mackenzie, Peter Aker as William, Moya Leslie as Helen, Alan Dudley as Frank Burton MP, and Richard Tate as Gerald Calder Brown MP, with Christopher Benjamin as Colonel Surikoff. Flying the Flag is written by Alex Shearer and produced by Pete Atkin.